in mind, this is in the life of Moses. Okay, we remember who Moses was, right? Born into a family of, well, nobodies, right? They were special people, right? But they were nobody as far as culture was concerned. Certainly nobody as far as the ruling class was concerned. So Moses was born to nobodies, put in an ark and became somebody special, right? Had the best education, had really everything he would ever need, and killed a man. Hit him in some sand, found out and ran away, right? 40 years in the desert running from consequences. And God got a hold of him, right? We know what Moses thought about himself, right? He didn't think too much of himself. How can I do what you're asking me, God? I certainly am not qualified. Here's all my excuses. God said, I'm going to use you anyway. Started to lead the people. Didn't do real well there either, did he? Finally got them out of Egypt, thankfully, because of the plagues. Really wasn't Moses. God did the work, right?
That's right.
Moses is leading the people out, and he fails time after time after time. I mean, do we know the story? He goes so far as to strike the rock twice. Terrible imagery. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus was one time on the cross. Amen? To talk to God now, all we've got to do is talk. I mean, that's normal, right? You don't have to have Jesus die again to ask God for something. Moses really blew it there, didn't he? Then God decides to call Moses on Sinai. Gives Moses quite possibly the most important thing, the law. Moses comes down and sees the sin of the people and does what? Throws them down in a temper tantrum. Also, not good. It is with all that background that we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 33, and if it doesn't surprise you, if it doesn't blow your mind like it did mine, I will be surprised. This is Moses, people. Moses. Verse 11 of chapter 33, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again in the camp, and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. God talked to Moses, one of the chief failures of his time. Epic failure after epic failure. And he spoke to him like a friend, face to face. He knew Moses on a first name basis.
Amen.
You think you're not worthy? You think you're not special? Think again. God knows you by name. He looks down through the portals of time and says, you, I love you. I've got a plan for your life. You're going to do amazing things, but Lord, I can't. No excuses. I got a plan. I have shown you grace. If God's shown you grace in this room tonight, say amen.
Amen.
He is so gracious to us. There's no way to calculate the number of times God has saved your life this week. You realize the devil wants to kill you? He wants to destroy your family. He wants to take your parents away from you. He wants to take your children away from you. He wants to break up your marriage, and he will do it if you'll let him. But God, in his grace and mercy, saves you from things that you don't even understand. because he knows your name. And you have found grace in his sight. Since you have found grace in his sight, you need to pray with Moses to show us. God, show us your way. I love that there's kind of a play on words there. You've got way as in a pathway, right? But you've also got the way, the how to do it. Peter says, Jesus was here and we should follow in his steps. Do you realize Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Amen. He is the way, he is the path. He has showed us the steps to take, but he's also showed us how to do it. He lived a perfect life, left the perfect example. We love those bracelets, WWJD, right? What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? It comes from a book by Charles Sheldon, In His Steps. Good book. But we really don't need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Do you realize we have the complete Word of God at our disposal? We just have to do WDJD. What did Jesus do? I don't know if Jesus in this particular occasion would. What did Jesus do? Jesus always did right. Jesus always spent every morning with the Father. Jesus knew the Word. What do we need to do? What Jesus did. Spend time with the Father. Spend time reading His Word. And you will know His way. And you'll know the way to do it. This is so beautiful. God is going to whisper in your ear right now. Pay attention. Listen as God tells you something special for you tonight. God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He's not just telling Moses that, my friends. He's telling you. His presence is going to go with you. If it feels dark, if it feels lonely, he's there. If it feels like the devil and all his demons are surrounding you, his presence shall go with thee. The beauty of reading God's word allows us to remember what God has done in his people's life. Do you remember when Elisha and Gehazi were surrounded by the Syrian army that came to get him because he was the prophet? He was telling everything that Ben-Hadad was doing in Syria. And Ben-Hadad said, who's in my bedroom with me? Everything I plan, Ahab's figuring out. What am I going to do? And there's a prophet in Israel, that's why. Oh, well, get him. So he sends the whole army, surrounds him. Gehazi wakes up in the morning. Elisha, look at this. He's like, calm down. Freaking out over nothing. Over nothing, we're surrounded. No, we're not surrounded. They're surrounded. God opened his eyes, and he looked, and there was God's army. Amen. Surrounding the surrounders. You feel surrounded? You feel like the devil's got you right where he wants you? Let me tell you something. The devil's surrounded. God's got the devil right where he wants him. I hope that gives you encouragement tonight. Amen. I hope you can look around and say, devil, on you. Because greater is he that is in me than you. Right? Amen. The devil wants to kill you. He'll bring up everything. I love the old line. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. When he reminds you ain't nothing because of the sin in your past, you remind the devil you're already defeated. Don't you whisper to me, you accuser, you father of lies. My Father in heaven is the truth, and he knows my name. So Moses said, God, if you really know me, if I've really found grace in your eyes, just give me one request. Verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, do you realize what you're asking, Moses? If you were to see me really face to face, it would blow your mind. And he didn't mean it figuratively. He said, you cannot handle it. You're corruptible. mind, your limited physicalness, absolutely every part of your DNA, every cell would poof, and you'd be gone. But what I'll do, though, is I will allow you to see my glory. And we've even got a song, right? He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. That's where that song comes from, right here. And cover you there with my hand. Because God covered Moses in that cleft of the rock. He was between a rock and a hard place, right? But he couldn't be any place safer. He was in God's hand. And God saved his life from seeing something that would have blown him away. But he did get to see something that was so special that his face shone so brightly that no one could stand to be around him, right, till he covered up. And I thought, man, that is just like this awesome thing about, you know, like one of those searchlights must have been super bright, like halogen or maybe the new LED stuff, and got just overwhelmed him with light, and he just absorbed it into his pores, like, and it just came out, just reflect. But the more time I spend in God's Word, the more I realize that that was just the tip of the iceberg. That's like 0.1% of what really happened. What did happen? Let's look in verse 6. What God said was, listen, I'm going to hide you there. You are going to see my glory, and then I'm going to take my hand away, and you're going to see the hinder parts. You're going to see the backside. You're going to see the train go through. I got stuck on the train, that brightness of God as he passed through, and I missed God's glory. Let's look. Chapter 34. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. You see, he got to see God's glory. How? By hearing God explain his glory. Do you see that? What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the fact that he is, verse 6, the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is God and there is none else. I don't care who you want to put as little g God in your life. That ain't it. Who you worship, the one thing that you spend the most time and effort on, how do you find out about that? Look at your checkbook. Wait, nobody uses checkbooks anymore. Look on the app on your phone, your bank app, okay? What comes up most often, that's what you care about most. But God is God. Regardless of what you say, regardless of what they say, he is Jehovah. He is the Lord God. He's the God of hosts. He is the general of the Lord's army. He's the one who's really in charge. I loved it when he came to Joshua. And Joshua said, are you for us or for the enemy? And the Lord said, you got it wrong. I am. And that's all he needed to say. I am God. I'm not on your side. I'm not on the enemy's side. Son, you better be on my side. Merciful and gracious. Thank God. Our God is gracious. Amen. And merciful. Amen. We didn't give Kosti what he deserved because God didn't give us what we deserved. But what he did give us was Jesus Christ dying in our place. Oh, it's real easy to say John 3:16, right? It's true. God died for the whole, sent Jesus to die for the whole world, right? What does that mean? That means he died in your place. You don't have to go pay for your sins because you never could. You are saved if you've asked him for his gift of salvation. Long-suffering, It's a good thing he is, because you're still around.
Amen.
If he wasn't, if he was as patient with you as you are with your spouse, with your kids, with your pastor, would you still be around? It's a good thing God's more long-suffering than you.
Amen.
Abundant in goodness and truth.
Amen.
How much time have you spent in the truth this past week? You know what I love to see back on that back table before we took it over? That little booklet, the little pamphlet thing. Read the Bible through in a year. It's a plan. For those of you who like me who need a plan, because you're never going to do it otherwise, right? That's awesome. But did you know you can challenge yourself? Did you know you can read it twice as fast in half the time? I do 2 days in 1 day. Did you know that? Did you know there's actually plans out there that you can read the Bible in 90 days, 60 days, 30 days? Did you know in one long day you can read the New Testament? Is that hard to believe? How do you know that, Brother Dave? Because on the audio, used to be audio tapes. Okay, I'm that old. But the MP3s now, when you add up the minutes, it's 16 hours of someone reading the Bible in audiobook. That's someone reading out loud. You can read by yourself faster, most of us can. Can you imagine taking one day and just giving it to God and reading the entire New Testament through? You could do it. If you need help, you can listen to the audiobook while you do it to keep you on task. I just want to challenge you to spend more time with God, because he is the God of truth.
Amen.
And you're only going to find it here.
Amen.
Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. We have forgotten how sinful we were. Those of us who've been raised in church, spent a lot of time in church, we forget. Some of us who got saved later, it's a lot easier to forget, right? Because you don't want to remember who you used to be. But sometimes we need to remember what God has saved us out of.
Amen.
He's a good God.
Amen.
He is forgiven, and that forgiveness is invaluable. And transgression and sin, but be careful. Be careful. God will by no means clear the guilty. Do you understand what that means? That means your brother, your sister, your neighbor who doesn't yet know Christ will not be forgiven of their sin and will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Do you understand how horrible that is? Let me close with this. There was a man. You may have heard about him and his partner. They're a famous magician act. They're partners. Name of Penn and Teller. Now, I was never able to watch them as a kid because they were kind of adult-ish humor and morbid kind of thing. But they got a little, I don't know, clean their act up, and they were on TV about magicians trying to trick them, okay? So some of you may have seen them. But both of them are devout atheists, okay? Keep that in mind. During one of their shows in Vegas, a Christian came to one of their shows. He came to their show not to see the show, but to wait in line, not for an autograph, just like everyone else. He kept letting everyone go first. He was the last one to talk to, and I can't remember if it was Mr. Penn or Mr. Teller, whichever one has a video blog, a vlog. Because he shared, he said, this guy came to my show. And afterwards, he handed me his religious literature and told me that he was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I didn't ask his Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart, that I would spend an eternity in a place called hell. And he was passionate. Mr. Teller, Mr. Penn said this, the atheist, that he was passionate about it. And I took his stuff, you know, kind of patronizing him, you know, yeah, thank you, and let him go. And he came back a second night, and I saw him in the audience. And I saw him get in line, just with that, like everyone else with the autographs. And I waited for him to come, and he came straight to me, and he asked me if I read what I gave him, and that he prayed for me all night long and was hoping that God would change my heart. He said, I don't know what to think about this stuff. I don't know what to think about this guy. But it made me think, how much do you have to hate someone to believe what he believed and not tell somebody?
That's right.
You're telling me an atheist just said that if I don't share God's word, it shows my true heart? This atheist who doesn't even believe in God understands love. Understands that we need to do a better job, church, of showing Jesus' love in our community. Do we really hate them that much that we're not going to tell them that they're going to go to hell for eternity and spend all that time in the lake of fire? We're not going to tell them? Do we hate them that much? I hope not. I hope we can show them Jesus. They don't deserve it, Brother Dave. You don't understand. I've seen them. They're weirdos. I've been to California, okay? I know. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they act like, okay? They need Jesus.
Amen.
Just as bad as you do.
Amen.
Jesus told Martha, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No, excuse me. I am the resurrection and the life. In my story, right? Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus is all you need. Whether you're living or dead. Whether they live until they're dead. Jesus is what they need.
Amen.
They're not going to hear unless you tell them.
Try.
I would love to stay here and tell everyone in Mulder, Oklahoma, Vianne, South Hop. I would love to, but that's not my calling. Some people come up to me, Brother Dave, I'm sure glad you're going to Romania because I never could. Right, because you're called here. Do something about it.
Amen.
We have an expression in Romania. Shun fun yesun pasin ante. You know what that means in English? A kick in the tail is still a step forward. Right? Whoa. You still get moving. You know what I want to do? I want to kick you on the tail. I want to get you moving. Tell someone about Jesus. This is your chance to change their life.
Amen.
How do I know it can happen? I've seen it happen. God, if God can change Moses, God can change you, and God can certainly change them.
Amen.
Let him do it.
Let's have our musicians come. Everyone stand. Challenge from the Word of God tonight to do something for the Dave and his family. They have their calling and we have our calling. This is our mission field. This is our place to tell someone about Jesus. And Penn's right. How much do you have to hate somebody to not warn them of the judgment to come? How much do you have to hate somebody to have the cure, to have the way of eternal life, the way of forgiveness of sin, and not tell them about Jesus? The Lord's convicting your heart tonight. You come while we sing.
Page 558.